Thank you, ladies. A mother's prayer. Mothers are known for praying. And so are fathers, but for some reason, mothers have taken that the more points on that aspect of praying. And we thank you for that. I know my mother was praying, sometimes very hard. And so I know that some of you are praying for some of your children, that you are praying that they would return to the ways of the Lord. And to you I say, don't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. We're here to worship the Lord, and the Bible says that we need to give honor to those that deserve the honor, and what better persons in our life than our mothers to give honor to? We're all here because of a mom. And God has just placed in their hearts, just like the story of this little cat that went in after the children, the kitty came back out 5 times. Mothers show that love. I know that my mom did. And now that I'm older, I look back and say, you know what? She made a lot of sacrifices that at the time, we're just kids. You go home, you were assured that we were going to have a meal, that we had a roof over our head. You know, no worries. Only worries that we had was get up in the morning and go to school and come back. And yes, the teachers were hard and too much homework, and those were our things. Now I look back and say, I don't know how they did it. There were 4 of us. And a lot of sacrificing. The commandment is simple. Honor your father and your mother. How we go about that, you know, it didn't give instructions on how to go about honoring father and mother. But some of you know, most of you know. I've heard some ideas of how some people honor their parents. As far as, you know, parents that weren't there for them when they were young. Or they weren't there for them at all. And so, one way that I've heard that they honor their parents is by not saying anything mean about them. They sometimes say, well, I don't speak anything good about them, but I don't say anything bad about them. This morning, we're going to honor our mothers. And I'm going to ask every mom in this church this morning, if you would please stand. Every mom here this Sabbath morning, we want you to stand. Because like I said, if it weren't for you, none of us would be here. Good. Wow. First of all, tomorrow a very special day for you, and I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Happy Mother's Day. Next, Grace, would you please come up here, and we'll have the kids wait there for a little bit. We're going to take this step at a time. We're going to ask if there are any children here that you know your mom is here today. Okay, come on up here, and we have a flower for you so you could take to your moms. So, parents, if you know your child needs help, come along. But we want one for family, and yes, take one to your mom. So if you're a child here and your mom is here, we want you to come and get a flower. want every child, it doesn't matter if you're 3, 4, or you're going on 34, you're still your mom's little one. So if you are received a flower, you may sit down if you have received a flower. If you have not received a flower, I still want you standing. Okay? That their children are here have received a flower. Okay? Now we have special, not special children, but all children are special. But Grace, you have asked 4 kids that we're going to help you. Okay? We're going to ask them to go, and every mom that's standing, you take a flower to the moms that are still standing, okay? Every mom should have received a flower this morning. Every mom should have received a flower this morning. I'm going to ask, not the moms, because the moms usually they're self-sacrificing, they won't raise their hands. But if you look around, if you see a mom that does not have a flower, would you please raise your hand and let me know right now? Every mom should have a flower. Okay. All right. We have 14. If you have a mom at home that was not here, and if you would like to take one home to her at the end of the service, please feel free to come and pick one up. If you know of a mom, maybe a shut-in, somebody that does not come regularly to the church, You know, because they can't. They're probably bedridden or they health problems. And if you're a friend of theirs, come here and get a flower for them. Maybe you could go visit them this afternoon and just take a flower to them and say, on behalf of the church, Happy Mother's Day. Would you do that for me? Thank you. For some people, for some moms, and I guess for some, I should say, Mother's Day is a day of mixed feelings. For others, is a day that maybe is not such a favorite day. I've known moms, some moms, that it's not a favorite day for them. And why? What are some of those reasons? Well, maybe your mom passed away since last May, 2008. And today, there are memories that are hard. Maybe you've had bad memories of your mother. You know, we read in the papers of some things that moms do that we cannot comprehend. What drives a mother to do certain things, horrendous things? The Bible records a few of those moms that when we read about them, they weren't the nicest moms. There are mothers without children. Some who lost their children before birth. Some who have lost their children after birth. And Mother's Day could be a day of mixed feelings. There are women who terminated a pregnancy. And every time Mother's Day comes around, there is this tinge of guilt that starts to surge. And it's hard for them. It's hard. There are women that simply cannot have children. And they were longing to have children. And so when Mother's Day comes around, there's that emptiness at times that they feel. There are mothers with children who commit crimes. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to this. They're addicted to that. There are thousands of dysfunctions that could be within a home. And that could cause motherhood to be a mixed blessing. And sometimes even worse, you have children and your children don't contact you. That would be hard on a mother. My mom doesn't say it, but every Mother's Day, she's expecting a call from all four of us. Yeah, they don't say it, but they're sort of expecting. And more than once, more than one year, I had to wake up Monday morning, and you know, like when you wake up that Monday morning and you say, the day has gone by. Sort of like gentlemen anniversary for our wives. The next day they're kind of looking at us, and then, why is she looking at me that way? It's like, kind of like a revelation pops into our head. And so my mom, you know, at times I have Monday morning, I wake up and everything's fine until I realize that I did not call her Mother's Day or her birthday. And then there's the dilemma, should I call her like right then, you know, that right early morning, so she could know I really forgot? Or should I wait till the evening and say something like, Mom, I was so busy, I'm sorry. Happy belated Mother's Day. That's always the dilemma. So that's why today Mother's Day, anniversaries, you know, we carry our phones around, so for me it's a big reminder there. Do something. Call. Do something. Mother's Day. And this morning I would like to just also honor my mother, because I know all the sacrifices that she made for us. Many women in the Bible, not necessarily mothers, but many women in the Bible, you know, because people sometimes think that a mother is just somebody that doesn't have no creativity, no initiative. They just stay home and take care of kids. How hard could that be? Yeah. I know how hard that could be, because, you know, when we want to give our wives a few hours, and I stress a few hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, and they say, could you take care of the kids? And we say, sure. And then 2.5 hours later, the 4 hours are already, when is she going to get back? These kids are driving me crazy. Many women in the Bible. Miriam led the people praising God. Deborah was a judge in Israel. Hannah, who lent her son to the Lord. Esther took her life into her hands and went before the king. The widows whose obedience sustained her and the family. Remember that little captive maid? She wasn't a mom yet, but she had this initiative to go tell the Naaman, I know where you could go to get healing. You know, she didn't hold that within herself. Mary, that young lady that was just minding her own business when the angel came and disrupted her whole life and asked her, would you like to just be the carrier of God the Son? Wow. What a challenge. What a challenge. Martha, who served Jesus, and Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. I mean, many, many women in the Bible. Lydia was one of the first converts in Macedonia. Dorcas, full of love, full of the desire to do service for God. And you know, we could go on and on and on and on. Told you I was going to honor my mom. And there's certain things that, you know, I could share with you that I appreciate my mother. And here's just a few things. First thing I appreciate my mom is that she did not hold the bad experience maybe that she had with the church or maybe with her parents as she was growing up Adventist. I think she did the same that most kids do, or some kids have done. You grow up Adventist, you get to a point when you start thinking for yourself, and then she did just that. She couldn't stand what she would probably term the legalistic attitude of the parents or the church, and so what she did was left the church, maybe at 14, 15, 16. But I appreciate my mom because she didn't let that bad experience ruin the conviction that truth is truth. That you do not want to accept it at the time, that's your responsibility. That's your choice. And so, when we came to the States, every Sabbath morning, now remember this, she's out of the church, does not want anything to do with the church. My dad is a Baptist, in name only, okay? Does not go to church either, not even his own. But every Sabbath morning, it was like a drill sergeant. Okay, get up. All of you are getting up. she would make sure we got ready, and then we got breakfast, and she made sure that we were there before by 9 or 9:15. And I said made sure that we did, because she didn't drive. So guess who had to drive us to church? My dad. And so every Sabbath, and I mean every Sabbath, my dad took us to church, dropped us off, came back home, waited till about 12:15, went back to church, picked us up, brought us back home. We had lunch, took us back for the missionary, endeavors that I grew up in a Spanish church. So every Sabbath afternoon is literature day. You're going out. And so he took us back, brought us back, and then sometime around 5:36 is the youth program, took us there, brought us back, and then for those of us that were a little bit older that had youth activity, gym night or anything, he took us there, and then, every Sabbath, my mom made sure that we had a foundation of church, worship, God. My mom helped us, encouraged us to do things for ourselves, to think for ourselves. Maybe some of you already know that I kind of like to play sports a little bit. And so there's, at 15, there's this baseball league. I don't know if you've heard of it, Babe Ruth Baseball League. And I don't know why they do this, but it happened. It's even now, and back then when I was 14 going on 15, when you're 15, you get to play Babe Ruth. And the problem was that the tryouts were, guess what day? Of all the days, in my mind, why couldn't it have been a Tuesday evening or a Thursday evening or a Sunday morning? That would have been better. No, it had to be Saturday at 9 o'clock. And I had already told my mom I wanted to play. I wanted to play baseball. And she, this is what she said. You're old enough. You know where you need to be. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. She gave me the choice. And so, out of all 46 years of my life, that was the worst Sabbath of my life. Because I found myself, first of all, breaking the Sabbath, doing my own will, doing that which I wanted to do. And she said one thing, though. She said, you do what you need to do, but Orlando, that's my dad's name, he's not going to take you. You do what you know where I needed to be at church. She knew that. You understand that. And so I found myself on a 10 speed about 8 o'clock in the morning going to that park. Terrible. Every car that came by, I thought it was an advance. Every car that came by, so I'm here with my cap and trying to take roads that would take me off. It was the worst day. And did I enjoy it? No. But she gave us the choice. God gives us choices, doesn't He? And He has given us the choice. Do you want to live with me eternally? I want you to live with me eternally. But He says, but I'm not going to force you to live eternally with me. You have to choose. Because when you choose, I've always experienced it this way. When I choose to do something out of my free will, because I want to do it, it's much, much better than somebody forcing me to do something. So really appreciated my mom for giving me that right to choose. My mom gave me the opportunity. She trusted me. Southern California had swap meets. Remember those of you that lived in Southern California? They had big swap meets. My mom used to make dresses for little girls. Okay? And when I say she made them, it's like really we started at home with the rolls of fabric. And our garage was converted into a shop, basically a cutting place. There was no cars in our garage. There was a big table where we rolled the rolls. I remember it was like from this corner till about right here. That's how long the table was. It was wide enough to put rolls, 62 inches wide. And there was a machine that you put the roll in and you kind of clamp it and you bring that machine, it rolls this way. You cut it, clamp it, you roll it back. And you do this back and forth, and in the sheets. And the fabric just starts getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And then you make the patterns, you put them in the patterns, the sleeves, just everything of the dress. I forget what they were. But you put all the patterns there, and then you get this machine, and you start cutting the patterns. Now, think about it. You're cutting, yes, one pattern, but underneath there might be like 500 I don't want to say sheets, but the fabric itself. Okay? And so she went to Greece with my dad for about 10 days. And she told me, here's the business. You're in charge. I was 17. And so I found myself doing all that by myself. Once you get the pattern, I would get the bags, put them in different bags, and then take them to the seamstress. Here are 500 dresses. I need them by Thursday. Here's 300 dresses for you. I need them by Friday. Here's, we had like 4 seamstresses that we would take. And then you get those dresses, and you clip all the little strings, and you put them in hangers, and you put them by sizes. And once it's all done, okay, Saturday evening, you get up and you load the van, because I didn't want to do that Sunday morning. You load that van and you just smash all those dresses in, thousands of dresses in there, different sizes from the little ones to size 12. And then Sunday morning, you get up around 4:30, start getting ready because you need to be at the swap meet. You need to, get everything. You need to pay for the entrance. You need to go in. You need to set up your booth, your canopy, and all that. You need to get the racks out and get all the dresses, the same color, same sizes, and all that. And I look at that experience and I say, wow. I was training for me. At the time, it wasn't. It was really hard work. When she came back, I was just, praise the Lord, you're back. But it was hard work. But yet now, I'm able to say to my mom, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to train us. Thank you for taking the time to have confidence in me that I was going to go do these things. Thank you for that. At this time, I wanted to give, just think about it. If you're a, a son or a daughter that you are here this morning and your mom is here, I'm going to give you the opportunity to share. To thank your mom. Thank the Lord for your mom. If you have any words that you would like to just share to your mom. I know that first person, that first son or daughter, that's the hard one. But yes, Gary, there's one hand over here. Shen. We're going to give you an opportunity to just share a thank you to your mom. Yes.
I've had a really rough last 6 months. And my mom has been there for me through every step of it. And I just want to thank her so much. Because
Amen.
I don't think I could have made it without her there.
Amen. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, there. I have the most wonderful mother right here beside me, Patty Rowe. It's been my privilege to have her in my home for the last year and a few months. And she taught all of us so much. She had 5 children on her own for about 10 years.
Hmm.
And she did it all. And she took us every week to Sabbath school. And every Sabbath, it seemed like that it wasn't raining. We had a picnic and a hike, and we went everywhere, and we had so much love and so much fun, and we had very, very little money. But, you know, we never felt poor.
Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but having 2 parents, it's hard to take care of the children. But a single parent, we need to pray for them and pray, because it's hard. I can't even imagine one parent doing that, which both my wife and I do. It's hard. Yes.
I thank the Lord for my mother who helps me raise my children for the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
I thank God for my mom.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Sammy. Any other... yes, Wynette. And then Tamara?
I want to thank my mom for helping me take care of my kids when I work and when I'm sick and helping me take care of my household.
Amen. Yes, Wynette.
My mother is resting peacefully till Jesus comes, and I miss her so much as if it was yesterday. She's been gone 12 years. And she was the jewel of my life. She led me to Jesus in everything she did or said. She taught my sister and I, in spite of a very unhappy marriage. I praise God for my mother.
Amen. Yes.
I had a wonderful mother, and I got to take care of her for 13 years before she died. And she every day would say, "I'm a happy woman."
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank my mom for taking care of my kids when I'm working, and she helps me with homeschooling, and she does an awful lot around the house. I don't know how I'd get by without her.
Amen. Yes, Paula.
I just want to thank God for my mother. She wasn't a Christian, but she was a very loving mother, very caring, nurtured us, and I know that she cared for the Lord very much, and I'm hoping that she had a relationship with Him before she died.
Amen.
But she was a very good mother. She raised us on a very, very limited income. And she gave us everything we needed. And she was always, always there. If we had a problem, she was always there to help us with it.
Amen. Thank you. Back there.
I love my mom.
Amen. Yes. Holly.
Hi, my mom has passed away, of course, but... I just wanted you to know, though, that she gave us a good foundation. She had four kids, and she was an Adventist all during that time. My dad was a Baptist, and all four of her children are Adventists today. And so that foundation that she gave us is so important.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Thank you for my mommy.
I thank the Lord for your mommy. Yes. Good. Right here.
I am really thankful for my mom, too. She and my dad are off in Mozambique for the next couple weeks. And I got to see them. They came out to see Jessica's World Fair thing at school. And I was just reminded all the stuff my parents, my mom, but both my parents, but, you know, they raised me really well. My mom was always there for me, and she made my childhood so happy. I always thought that I had, like, the best childhood of anyone I knew.
Mm-hmm.
She made life so fun. She always had a way of bringing fun into stuff, making the most icky jobs fun. She'd just invent games and sing silly songs, and, you know, we always worked together. And she taught me how to pray. I'd hear her talking all the time, like off in her sewing room or in her, you know, and I'd come and look around. She'd be praying. You know, she'd be talking mm-hmm. to Jesus out loud and stuff. And she made me see Jesus and God, you know, as very personal friends. And in the way that my mom is included, you know, made my kids feel special all the time, you know, just calling and sending things and baking things. My mom tended to show her love by making things, cookies and bread, and she taught me how to, I don't know if I followed her example as well, but, you know, being a good witness, just, you know, when I was little, we'd go around to every neighbor within like a 5-mile radius of our mm-hmm. house, and she'd give out loaves of bread and little steps to Christ or, you know, whatever little witnessing thing. And there are people that know my mom from forever ago because they remember her. Oh, yeah, she's that lady that, you know, came all around the neighborhood. Anyway, I'm really, really thankful that I had such a wonderful mom.
Amen.
And still do.
Right here? Yes.
I'm very thankful for my mom because she worked outside the home so that my brother and I could attend Adventist schools. She spent a lot of nights working late at home, sewing dresses so that I would have nice clothes to take to Milo Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very blessed that she is living with us now.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Gary, right. Okay.
Thank you for my sister and my mom. And I'm glad that it's Sabbath today, and I hope all the people that are feeling here good.
Amen. Yes.
I thank you for my mommy.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Now, there are a lot of thankful children, sons and daughters, but there are also thankful moms. This morning, I've asked Tamara. I'll just let her share what's in her heart. Yes, please. I'll let her share what's in her heart. Because, like I said, it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day, and she wanted to share something. Share with us.
I asked the pastor if I could share this with my church family because I knew you were all praying for me. As many of you know, about 4 weeks ago on Easter, I started having pain in my leg. And I went to work in the emergency room that night. And when I got home, I noticed that my leg was purple and swollen, and I couldn't walk. So I went back to the emergency room, got an ultrasound that showed a very large clot in one of my veins in the pelvis that was blocking blood flow to my leg. So we all were kind of scared at that time, and one of the surgeons here tried to do a procedure to remove the clot, and it didn't work. He tried 9 times, and it didn't work. So I went home from there thinking that I wasn't going to be able to walk or work or take care of my family, and for about 10 days I was sitting on the couch feeling pretty sorry for myself, thinking I was going to be disabled at the age of 41. So during that time, I know a lot of my church family was praying for me, and I want to thank you very much for that, because I believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
Wholeheartedly. I was still feeling pretty sorry for myself, thinking, you know, I was really working hard in the emergency room for God, and where are you taking me? What am I supposed to be doing now? So I prayed a lot and researched online, and my mother, for whom I'm very thankful, said to me, why don't you call Loma Linda? Loma Linda is where Monty and I both went to medical school, and we know lots of people down there, and we know it's a fantastic, fantastic university. So I did, and I called one of the vascular surgeons down there who came right out of clinic and spoke to me and said, well, we do have this procedure that we've been doing for a couple of years, but the interventional radiologists do it. So I called our interventional radiologist and said, do we do that here? And he said, no, but as a matter of fact, there's a fellow down at Loma Linda University who's going to be moving here in July. Why don't you call him? So I called back down to Loma Linda, and he explained the whole procedure to me for an hour, and I said, I'm flying down tomorrow. So I flew down the next day with my family and had a procedure where I was in the ICU for 2.5 days while they put a catheter in my vein and dissolved the clot. Mm-hmm. And it worked. There's lots of complications that can be associated with this. And so, again, lots of you are praying for me, and I'm so, so very grateful for that, because by the end of the 3 days that I was in the hospital, the clot was gone. And my leg is working again, and as you can see, I'm up here walking, wearing high heels. And I worked 2 days this week in the emergency room and got to share God again. So I know a lot of us ask God for things a lot. God is there to help us, and He enjoys answering our prayer like we enjoy giving our children things. But today I'm here with an incredibly thankful heart, and I want to let you know that I've had another miracle in my life thanks to your prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you. I prepared something for all of you mothers. I'll just read it along as I go. The world, it says, is filled with all different types of women. There are women that heal with the power of love. There are women that relieve pain just by their company. There are women that sing what people are feeling. There are women that write about what people are feeling. There are glamorous women. There are well-known women. There are women that make people laugh. Okay? There are women who fight. Talented women in the world. But the world is also filled with other kinds of women, and maybe not well-known and famous. There are women that have to leave everything behind to look for a new life. There are women that find themselves with a new challenge every day. Every day is a challenge. Every day they have to go and find food for their children. And they don't know where it's going to come from, but they find themselves with this challenge. There are women that suffer injustices on a daily basis. There are women that suffer inexplicable loss. Women that are submitted to unjust laws. Women that are still young, they ask themselves, what will my future hold? Women whose faces show every dedication to life. The hard work, all of them, they're special. All women, as beautiful as the stars, because they fight every day to make the world a better place to live. Mothers in every church. There are mothers in every church that do this. There are mothers in every place that fight for this world to be a better place. And to all of you, on behalf of your pastor and the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church, we would just like to say, Happy Mother's Day. May God bless you. May God continue to strengthen you. May God continue to give you what He has given you, that love that He has given you, to continue on forward until He returns. Moms, God bless. We'd like to end this service, if we all of us would like to stand, and we're going to sing this closing hymn together. Number 655, Happy the Home. So if we would all stand together, number 655, Happy the Home. Together and have a word of prayer. Father, this morning we want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to honor our mothers, honor the moms that you have given to us. Father, I pray that you may bless them, that you may continue to uphold them, that you may continue to just give them the wisdom that they have shown throughout all these years. And Father, I pray for them, because I know that in their hearts, they have at times sorrow and sadness for some of their children that they're praying for. And I just pray that you may answer their prayers. Father, we know that each child that they had is in your hands. And we know that you have done and are doing everything possible to have them with you in the kingdom. And that's a good thing to know, because we know that you love them as much as they do. So I pray for them as they continue to pray for their children. And Father, I pray that we may never forget to honor our moms, that you may continue to give us as children the ability, continue to give us that desire, continue to give us the love that we need to continue to honor our mothers. Father, thank you. Be with us during the rest of this Sabbath day as we continue to honor and to glorify your name. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.